Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Leo Brown. Lots of stuff to discuss with all of the interesting revelations, I guess, assertions, allegations, you name it. Sexual misconduct seems to be the attack du jour. Now, what's interesting is who believes what, when, how, what's legitimate, what's credible, what's slander, what's and crime, you know, all of these questions certainly are swirling about there. And the one I think that is certainly at the forefront right now, we've had a few of these, right? We've had Kevin Spacey at the forefront. We've had Harvey Weinstein at the forefront. Now we have the Senate hopeful Roy Moore, who is at the forefront from Alabama. And in all of these, it's almost like a competition. Who's taking whose side? Who's on? Who believes who? Well, if you agree with my political rhetoric, then I'm going to believe you and I'm going to assume that you're innocent. Generally, that's what we see. And certainly that's what we see with this situation with Moore. And even Republicans have said, wait a minute. These allegations are enough that this individual should halt his bid for the Senate. There are those who say this is just political pandering or political wrangling, and this is the competition trying to come after someone. All of that is truly insignificant in the grand scheme of things, because what I want to talk about is virtue, and I want to talk about especially what we're seeing now, because supposedly Moore is now doubling down on his Christian values, right? This is the conservative Christian values I read. And because of this, and I've talked about this in my companion blog, and because of this, he's certainly heel digging into his base. The conservative Christian who says, so what about these allegations? Is he pro-life? Right. That's primary. That's one of the is he for small government? If he's small government and he's pro-life, then who cares? That essentially is what the conservative Christian value says. So you're going to put the conservative in small government. You're going to put the Christian in pro-life. And there you go. Those are the two criteria, essentially. And ancillarily, if that's a word, will he uphold the Second Amendment? Right. That's got to be. God and guns, that's got to be in there. But what I would rather dig into is what is value? And in addition to what is value, what is virtue? Because they're two totally different things. Because you can value something that's not virtuous, right? Please understand that. You can, value is subjective. It's always subjective. Virtue is always subjective, always objective. So are we talking values or are we talking virtues? Because few really talk virtue. Because honestly, it's hard. Because virtue in any way, shape, or form, it's gonna challenge us to our core. It should. It's supposed to. It's designed that way. It's by its very essence a conundrum, a philosophical challenge, a puzzle almost, a tightrope to walk. That's what virtue is. And there are those who seem to think it's virtuous to be extreme. And their values say, I'm going to be extreme. Their values say, I'm going to uphold and support this individual, even though he seems despicable. At least he's not that guy. At least he's anti-gay or anti-transgender bathroom bills or whatever. You name it. You know what I mean? That's our value. That's our conservative Christian value. Therefore, this guy matches that, and they think that's virtue. And it's true in the other direction, whatever. As extreme as you want to get, as culture warrior-esque you want to get. I don't care which side. There are those who embrace values that they believe in, which are completely subjective, and call it virtue. And they do it all day long. But here's what's cool. If you go back into the Greek philosophers, and you look at where virtue really was explored and really unpacked, certainly through guys like Plato and Aristotle and these who spent a lot of time really dealing with ethics and asking important questions. The thing that comes from that, the thread that comes from all of that writing and all of that exploration, all of that thought, is that virtue is always a balance point. Not the opposite of vice, but held in tension between the vice. Because either way you go, you're going to move toward a vicious cycle. And what that vicious cycle is means you spin yourself out of control to the point that you've just repeatedly become vicious, 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 because you're now no longer in that balancing point of virtue. Now, that could kind of go either way, right? We could get too extreme in one side and spin in this direction, or we could get too extreme in the other side and spin in that direction, if it's linear. It's really not, right? I mean, there's so much gray area in this, but let's just pretend that there's something sort of, you know, a plane, if you will, a flat space, a linear sort of conservative versus liberal values, whatever. Because if we look at it that way, then I think we can kind of begin to see that we at least have a visual. It kind of helps me. Let's put it that way. I like to look in pictures and kind of go, okay, I see how this works. I see, yeah. So for me, that model with this balance point, almost, again, as a tightrope walker, would have to find that point of center on that very, right, very narrow path where it's difficult. That's what virtue looks like. That's what virtue truly practiced. Now, there could be value to that, right? Because, well, that's valuable. There's a value to walking there. But unfortunately, to most, that's not valuable. Honestly, I look around. Does anybody find it valuable to see someone truly in balance? No, they see value in the imbalance, right? They see value in the extreme. Well, this is what I believe, right? Whatever. Gung-ho about this, you name it. Gung-ho about, let's go on the other side of the political fence and something extreme and ridiculous. Gung-ho about animal rights to the point that you're willing to toss red paint on people who wear fur. Now, I come from that world. I know that world. I subscribed to PETA in my 20s. I was a vegan. I was anti-animal product, and I'd never threw red paint on someone's fur, but I read about it, and I knew people who did that. So I didn't know them personally, but I knew they did that. So for the animal rights activists, it's valuable. There's a value. It's a values-based sort of understanding that we are so much a proponent of animal rights that we will destroy a $5,000 fur coat in order to say, to prove our point, right? To put the message out there that fur is dead, fur kills, whatever. That's an extreme example, but it is an example. To that group, it is valuable. Same could be said on the same political spectrum, if you will, of those in the Antifa movement. It is valuable to enact violence against those who are violent if the violence is enacted by aggressors who appear to be in some way fascist, right? So therefore, the value is we will fight them. That's a value to that subgroup. Go on the other side and look at the white supremacist movement. It's value. There's a value, of course. It is a principle and a value and a tenet for them to uphold the rights of the white man, even to the detriment of the ethnic, the immigrant, the minority. None of that has a damn thing to do with virtue. None of it. Because what virtue does is it forces us all out of our comfort zones. And again, there's generally not a lot of value there. There's no one who says, yeah, today I really want to step way outside of my comfort zone, and I want to be challenged personally. Because if we did, first off, we would be a fitter society. Obesity would not be a thing. Many of the diseases that we deal with would not be a thing. You know, I'm in a renaissance right now, if you will, on a lot of levels when it comes to my personal life, especially when it comes to my personal health and what I'm trying to do to, at this point of midlife, right? God willing, I know that I've hit this plateau of it's only downhill from here. I know that unless I make some really serious changes, some virtuous changes, not values. Yeah, I value my health, but what I'm having to do now is say, okay, I've got to step outside of my comfort zone. So I actively have pursued an exercise program and a diet that I am trying to incorporate into my life, which is not like, I'm going to try this thing for a few weeks and, you know, hopefully I'll get results. Yeah. If it helps me through the holidays, and great. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm looking at, okay, at this point, because I've reached the tipping point, right? That would be money, which is another thing that I need to work on. But my last physical at the report was not good. My blood pressure's creeping up. My cholesterol's creeping up. All of these things that, and my diet was crap. I mean, I got to be honest. I was eating bags of candy corn pretty much every day because they're there. They're available. It's autumn mix. It's that time of the year. That stuff is out there leading into Halloween. So what I did is I made a very drastic move that may look extreme, but it's not an extreme move toward vice. It's an extreme move toward a balance of virtue. That says, now I'm going to look at, and it all started, I was listening to NPR, which I listen to frequently and love, and I heard an interview with the CEO of Whole Foods, John Mackey, and he was talking about this whole food, plant-based diet, and which I didn't even know was a thing. A month ago, I didn't even know it was a thing. And so, which is beautiful, right? Because I discovered this world. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm geeked into it. But anyway, so I'm like, I'm going to read this book. There's something to this. The timing was right. What is the old adage? The proverb, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, whatever. So I was ready. And Mackie is my teacher now at this point of saying, hey, this is the key. This is the key. This whole food plant-based, there's a lot of fad diets. There's a lot of paleo, and which I've done. I've done the paleo. I've done the low carb, high protein, you name it. I actually have a nutritionist in the family who was like, Leo, man, you're probably going to hurt yourself doing like a year, 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago when I was talking about that. I was on that kick. So now I'm looking at, how do I just get healthy? How do I extremely get into virtue and cut away those extremes by getting to the point where I'm challenging myself, but on a very delicate balance point between these vices, because the vice could be that I could go extreme in some fad, which is unhealthy, but that's not what this is. Or like I was in my 20s with veganism and thinking that there was something cool about that and the extreme that went with that, with animal rights and all these other things that I was kind of geeked into then the other would be just the exact opposite of just eating candy corn all day and picking up bags of, literally, I can't count the times that going to the grocery, going to the drugstore, going to the hardware store, whatever, home improvement store, there's candy at every aisle, right? They're always right there. How many times have I picked up a king-size bag of peanut M&Ms and just added that in? How many times have I done that? And sometimes if I didn't have a coffee with me, which often I do have, now I'm trying to cut that back and switch into green tea after a certain point of the day and kind of do the tea and water instead of all the coffee that I was doing. But if I didn't have a coffee in the car, then I would get a Diet Mountain Dew along with that. Right? That was common, like several times a week common is what I mean. So the other extreme. So I've been on both extremes. Now it looks extreme because now I'm in the center. I'm like balanced. I'm getting into this and I've got this workout program of yoga practice that I do every day, and I'm getting into balance. But what's interesting is people are looking at me and saying, well, Leah's back into another extreme thing. Because there's not value. It's like I say, the value comes from being in a camp. That's what people value. Oh, this guy's like us. Now, granted, there's a tribe, and I promise you there's a tribe of whole food, plant-based yoga practitioners. I promise you they're there. And there are those who would value that. They would place value on that virtue, which is great because it's virtue. But that's not the norm, right? The norm is to say we value what we believe, not because it's virtuous, but because it's what we believe, right? The value is structured around the belief, not because it's something that is going to stretch us or step us into a world of discomfort that could then potentially put us in this mode of tension, which where we'll find true balance. We would rather stay in the world of imbalance, especially if there are others who are cheering us on or others that we can cheer on. Because if we do that, now we've got a good team mentality. Where I am, I'm not saying my diet's better than yours. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, hey, I'm not judging you if you eat M&Ms every day because I did, right? I'm not judging you if you're a vegan and you really don't care what you eat unless it's not animal and you'll go to, you know, eat French fries all day long and, diet sodas, whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to judge. I'm not playing this game to be against you. What I'm doing is saying for me and my well-being, my peace of mind, my continued health, what I'm doing is this. Horribly and terrifically unpopular. And I get that. And it looks like I'm being radical or rebellious or something. Now, revolutions do not have to be rebellious, right? I don't think we think about that. We call ourselves the new Catholic Revolution, right? That's what we call ourselves at Breadbox Media. And some could think, well, were there rebels by looking at that? Well, those guys are just, trying to be extremists. No. Revolution simply says we're going to turn something around. We're going to revolve this around to the point of ideally a more pure interpretation of what the real meaning is. Radical. Radical is not extreme. Radical means going to the root. Radical says we're going to return to the organic underpinning of what this originally was. How do we get to the genesis? How do we get back to what this was? That's radical. And when you take that approach, it will be a revolution, I promise you. So rather than looking at the extremes and the camps and, oh, well, I've got to go along with this and agree with this, or I've got to support this guy or believe this guy or get on this bandwagon or do this, rather than doing that, taking the very difficult, not because it's so difficult to do, but because it's so unpopular to do, but making the very difficult choice to do the unpopular and say, you know what, I'm not going to be in either of that. I'm not going to be in either of those camps. I'm not going to go down that road. I am going to explore. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to discover the true root, because that's kind of where I am now. Like I say, a month ago, you asked me what WFPB is. I'm like, what is that? I don't even know. Where am I now? I'm going, this is the key. And it's proven. You read this book from John Mackey, and he's got case study after case study. And these what's he called them? The blue groups, regions, whatever, where there are these areas that just are off the charts with amazing health, and they all have the same thing in common. They're essentially whole food, plant-based communities. And it's all verifiable. And this is me trying to look at what, and it came to me. I mean, like I say, it was delivered to me essentially through NPR. Praise God. Because I'm listening, I'm like, wow, okay, I needed that. It's what I needed right now. And as a result, now I'm going, okay, wow, I got some tools to make this thing work. So you can choose value. Let's put it this way. You can take the easy route and say, well, I'm going to go with this because this is valuable to me. You know what? A bag of candy corn in September was amazingly valuable to me. As soon as that thing hit the shelves and I could get that bag of candy corn, that autumn mix, right? Not just candy corn, the autumn mix that only comes around once a year, and I could eat that entire bag before I got home from my errand running. That was value. I found value in that. You can find value in the worst of things. But is it virtue? So what I try to do on this Cathavist blog and on this podcast is to let's look at a different way. Cathovist. What is it? Yes, Cath. It's little c. It's universal. And it's being active. What can we do that is action oriented? What can we say that's universal action? I promise you this. It's not being in one of those camps that choose value based on very arbitrary meanings that are basically popularity contests. That's not what this is. I challenge you. I encourage you. I exhort you. I implore you. Find a different path. And most importantly, as always, put what you believe into action. This is the Cathavist Podcast on Breadbox Media. I'm Leo Brown.